Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace once again. And we come, Father, on behalf of your servants, Father. We come on behalf of Sister Judy, dear Lord, who spoke to me about her health, Father. And we just ask that you will be with your servant and help her to recover, dear Lord, and have a good portion of her health once again. And we pray, Heavenly Father, also for the other Sister Judy, whose husband, I believe his name is Don, dear Lord, is not doing so well at this time. We just pray, dear Lord, that his health also be restored, dear Lord, and that you be with Sister Judy as she nurses her husband. And we just pray that their both, Father, their inward man will continue to be restored day by day. We just thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to gather and to worship you this day. And we pray that as we worship you, Father, that we will grow into a deeper, more intimate relationship with you, Father. Learn to trust you and love you more and more. And we just ask, Father, that you be with me at this time as I have come forth to impart your word, that you would stand with me and strengthen me, and that the words that I say may be pleasing unto you and edify all those who obey and hear me. And we just ask, Father, that all said and done in worship today would be pleasing unto thee. In the name of your holy Son, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to talk about some soul food this morning. I see y'all smiling. I think we're going to talk about fried chicken.
Cabbage today.
Cabbage. Yams. All right. And the greens. They got the turnip and the mustard and the collard greens. All right. The cornbread. And I'm talking about the sweet water cornbread with the hot iron skillet. Yeah. No, we're not going to talk about that type of soul food. We're going to talk about the true soul food, the food that is good for the soul. We're going to talk about the bread of life this morning. Open your Bibles to John chapter 6, where we were, and we're going to continue on. And we'll be looking at the verses here from 25 and following. So John chapter 6, verses 25 and following. All right, so we have learned and just read and studied about the feeding of the 5,000, knowing that after the feeding of the 5,000, the people wanted to come and take Jesus by force and make him king. But we know that Jesus did not come to earth to establish a physical kingdom. He came to establish a spiritual kingdom, and that is the Church of Christ that we are members of this day. All right. So after Jesus had wanted to take him by force, Jesus sent his disciples in the boat, and sent them to the other side of the lake or the other side of the sea. He dispersed the crowd of people, and then he went up into the mountain alone to pray to God. Jesus had finally got him some alone time where he can go spend time with the Father. All right. After that, the next day, the crowds began to look for Jesus. All right, they were looking for Jesus, and they didn't find Jesus or his disciples. So some other boats came. They got in those boats, and then they went to the other side of the sea looking for Jesus, because they realized that there was only one boat there on that side of the sea. And Jesus' disciples got into that boat, and they went on the other side of the sea. But Jesus was still on the side of the sea where they were, and they were looking for Jesus. They couldn't find him, so they got into boats the next day, and they went to the other side of the sea looking for Jesus. So we'll pick up here in verse number 25 through 27. Here is where we'll be reading. It says, "When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?'" So they didn't realize that Jesus, in the middle of the night, walked on water, got into the boat with his disciples, and went to the other side of the sea. They didn't realize that, but here they are looking for Jesus. 26, Jesus answered, "Verily, truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So Jesus said here that the people were looking for him, and they were looking for him because they ate of the loaves, they had their fill, and they were full. Alright, so these people were looking for Jesus because Jesus fed them, and they wanted Jesus to feed them again. These people were looking for Jesus for the wrong reasons. All right? They were looking for Jesus for the physical things of life. They were looking for the food. They were looking for the entertainment. They were looking for the healing, etc. This is why the people were following Jesus, and they wanted Jesus to fulfill their physical needs there. Jesus, he will provide for the people. He will provide for us. He will do that in his time and his way. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." As Jesus spoke there about the necessities of life, the food and the shelter. So Jesus will provide for us in his time and in his way. But Jesus is not the genie in the bottle that we fulfill our three wishes through. Jesus came here to give us far greater things than the things here of this life. And this is what Jesus is trying to get the people to see. Jesus wanted the people to seek him or to follow him because of the signs that he performed. And that's what Jesus explained to them. He said, "You're looking for me because you ate of the loaves and had your fill." Jesus said, "You're not looking for me because of the signs that I performed." What did the signs show to the people? All right. The miracles proved that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was sent from God. And if man would believe in him, that is, put their trust and obey Jesus, Jesus would give man eternal life. That's what Jesus came to this earth. That is his main purpose, is to give us eternal life. This is what Jesus' purpose here on earth. All right, so the miracles prove that Jesus was from God. Y'all remember a man by the name of Nicodemus? All right, John chapter 3 and verse number 2 says, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher which come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with them." So we see here Nicodemus was sure that Jesus was from God because of the miracles that he performed. Now remember also that Jesus gave sight to a blind man in John chapter 9 and verse 32 and 33. And this is what the blind man said. He said, "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man was not of God, he could do nothing." This man was absolutely convinced that Jesus was from God. Why? Because Jesus gave this man sight. He allowed him to be able to see. You remember Peter in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 22. It says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know." So Jesus was approved of God. It shows us that God had put his seal of approval on Jesus. How? By the miracle, signs, and wonders that he performed. Also, in John's account here, in John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31, John says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus do in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name." See, Jesus came to give us more than the physical things of life. All right, Jesus will provide, but he came to give us more than that. Jesus came to give us more than just a better life here on this side of life. He came to give us eternal life. Sometimes people we so wrapped up in trying to have the things of this life that we miss the most important thing, and that is the life to come. That is a relationship with God that we can have now that extends into eternity. And this is why Jesus came to earth. Verse 27, it says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give. For on him the Father has placed his seal of approval." So what does Jesus say? He says, don't work for the food that spoils. He's not saying, don't quit your day job. That's not what Jesus is saying. If a man don't work, he don't eat. So Jesus is not saying, don't work for food. What he's saying is, don't spend all your concern, your time, your energy, all your efforts on things that are only temporary. Things that are only here for a season. Things that will perish. So this is what Jesus is bringing forth here. He says, place your concern, your time, your energy on things that are spiritual things. Spend your time on things that will profit the kingdom of God. spend your time on things that will pertain unto everlasting life. This is what Jesus wants us to give our main focus over, to those things. So the question is here, as Jesus speaks here about the priorities, the question is, what do you spend most of your time on? Do you spend most of your time on doing things that are more things of the world, or do you spend your time on doing things that are for the Lord, work for the Lord, doing spiritual things? What do you think about most of the time? Are you thinking most of the time about earthly things, or do you spend your time speaking about heavenly things as well? So what are your priorities at? This is where Jesus is trying to help us to get our mind, as well as these people here, this crowd that he's talking to. He wants them to have their mind focused on the things of heaven and not so much on the things always of the earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 and 21 says, "Lay your treasures up in heaven, for where your treasures is, there your heart will be also." Colossians 3, 2 says, "Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things." Matthew 5 and 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." They shall be satisfied. Jesus said here in John chapter 4 and verse 34, he says, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus' main concern was doing that which pleases the Lord. That's what we want to do. We want to put a smile on the Lord's face by the things that we do, how we live, being focused more on the things of eternal instead of the things always concerned about the things on this earth. Verses 28 and 29. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." Since Jesus said, don't work for the food that will perish, but work for the food that endures unto everlasting life, the people have a misunderstanding about what Jesus has said. See, it is not about works, but it is work. It's one work, not works. See, there is only one work that God requires of man, that is to believe in the one he sent, his son, Jesus Christ. That is to trust and obey him so that you can have eternal life. That is the only work that God wants man to be concerned of, and that is to trust his son. Many in the religious world today believe that they have to do something in order to earn salvation. You cannot earn salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. The scriptures here share with us here in Ephesians 2 and 8 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. In appreciation of what God has done for us, that's why we work. So these people had a total misunderstanding about the word work there and not works. Continuing on, verses 30 through 32, it says, "So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, verily, truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So the people asked Jesus for a sign to believe in him, as if the 5,000 that he just fed wasn't good enough. They wanted even more. Show us something else, something greater than what you've already did. And you know what the people are doing here? They're comparing Jesus with Moses. All right, that's what they're doing. They're comparing Jesus here with Moses. Because we see here that Jesus, he fed the 5,000. He did that once, and he did that with two small fish and five loaves of bread. But compared unto Moses, Moses fed the whole nation of Israel for 40 days, and he did so from bread from heaven. But Jesus corrects them. He said, it wasn't Moses who gave you this bread, but it was my Father who gave you this bread. And then he says, my Father gives you the true bread that comes down from heaven. That is to give life unto the world. So Jesus offered them even greater bread. They ate the bread of their ancestors in the wilderness, and they died. And manna there, it sustained their physical bodies for that time period. But Jesus says, now God is giving you the true bread. and this is going to sustain you even unto eternal life. Which bread is greater? I'd rather eat the true bread. Give me the true bread. And this is what Jesus is trying to get these people to come to understand here. Verses 34 through 36. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Jesus declares himself to be that true bread, the bread of life. This is one of Jesus's I am statement. So they ate the physical bread and they perished. Jesus says, I am the spiritual bread. I give life. Jesus is the only true source of eternal life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Then Jesus says, here, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. So they still have unbelief. They still don't believe in Jesus. Even that Jesus had done great miracles before these people, they still have a hardness of heart. They still don't believe in Jesus. And Jesus says here, verse 37, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So Jesus says, all those that the Father gives me will come to me, showing that anybody who wants to come to Jesus can come to Jesus, whosoever will. And Jesus says he'll never drive them away. No matter who you are, no matter how sinful you think you may be, you can come to Jesus. Jesus will not push you away. He will accept you. He has open arms and he's waiting for you to come in. Makes no difference who you are. Jew, Gentile, the worst sinner on earth, God will have you. He's waiting for you to come to him. And he's waiting for you to come to him today. The door is open. We have to come to God. We have to continue to stay faithful unto God. So he says, whoever the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. He says, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So Jesus' will is to seek and save the lost. That's his purpose. One of his purposes for coming here to earth. Verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of them, those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So Jesus says, it is my Father's will that I should lose none of all those he has given me. So Jesus will not lose you, all right, in the sense that you are secure with Jesus, all right? You can walk away from being a Christian and go back to the world, but Jesus will never lose you. Jesus has you in his hands. You're right there with Jesus. But if you make the choice to walk away from Jesus, you can do that. But we hope that's not the case, but that is so, that you can walk away. But God will not let you go. He's right there waiting for you. He's right there with you. But if you make a choice to walk away, that is a man's choice. All right. But Jesus will never lose you. He will never lose you out of his care. All right. And he gives the promise there, that great promise, that he will raise you up at the last day. Right. So it shows us here that all who come to God, all right, God has not chosen certain people, as you got the Calvinistic teaching of predestination, that God chooses others and he rejects others. That's not how it works. All those who obey the Son of God can come to God. All who put their faith in Jesus Christ and obey him can come to Jesus Christ. If Kevin has faith in God and God hasn't chosen him, then he can't come. That's some of the teaching in the world, because God has already pre-chosen certain people, but that's not the case. Whosoever will put their faith in the Son of God and obey him can come to Jesus Christ. See, God does the choosing in his Son. Jesus Christ is the chosen one of God, and all those who are in Christ Jesus are the chosen of God. So all you have to do is put your faith, trust God, come to his Son, obey him, and abide in him. Continue to live in Christ Jesus, stand faithful to him, and Jesus will never lose any of those who come to him. Verses 41 through 46. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'? Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to him. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father." So the Jews here begin to grumble as Jesus said that "I am the bread of life. I have come down from heaven." So they're grumbling amongst themselves, and they're saying that, "Don't we know this kid? Isn't this Jesus? We know his father Joseph. We know his mother Mary." They're basically saying, "This is the little boy from down the street. All right, how could this be? He say that he's coming from heaven. How could he say he's the bread of life?" Instead of truly inquiring and asking Jesus, "How could this be so?" they're grumbling about himself. "This couldn't be. He's the little boy from down the street." But we already seen, according to what Jesus says, that these people here do not believe in him. All right. Instead of inquiring and asking Jesus more about how are you the bread of life, knowing that Jesus would have been happy to explain, because he wants all men to be saved. That is the will of God. But these people have doubt in their mind, speaking here of the Jews here, that have doubt in their mind about who Jesus is. Jesus says here in verse 33, "Stop grumbling amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." So Jesus says about drawing him, their people to him, he says God does this. How does he do that? He tells us here in the scriptures, "No one can come to the Father, to me, unless the Father draws them." Then he says, "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught of God." How is men drawn to Jesus? They are taught of God. From the Old Testament, they're taught about God. From the New Testament, they're taught about God. All right, we see that there in the scriptures. You have to be taught of God. You have to be taught of the Father. And that is through his word, his holy word, from the Old Testament and now today in the New Testament. You're taught of God, and this is how God draws man unto his son. And it says, "And in the prophets, they will all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me." So he shows us here the steps here. Everyone who hears the Father or heard of the Father, they learn of the Father, and then they come to Jesus. The same steps for man today. You hear the word of God. You believe the word of God. All right. You repent of your sins. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you are baptized. You're added to the Lord's church. And you stay faithful. You continue to abide in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And this is how we are to have life and life eternal today. And it is all being drawn by the teachings of God's word here that we see in the pages here of inspiration there. So in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, it says, "God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son." So we see when we hear the words of Jesus here in the Bible, it's drawing us to Jesus so that we can come and be a part of God's holy family here. So Jesus here is the bread of life here. He is the bread of life. He is what sustains us unto eternal life. We need to come to Jesus, partake of him as a partaking of his word, and also knowing that he gave his life for us, that we might have a relationship with God. This is why he came here. God's yearning for the relationship that he once had with his creation from the very beginning. When he was in the garden with Adam and Eve, and he was walking and he could talk with Adam and Eve, God wants that relationship once again. And he sent his son to die on the cross. And he did it for you and I. Why? Because he wants that relationship that he once had, once again, with his creation, with those who faithfully obey and trust his son, Jesus Christ. He is the true bread of life. He is the one that came to give us life so that we can go back to be with the Father. That is my lesson for us today. If there's anyone here who has any concern, any prayer requests that they may have, you may be able to bring that forth as we make our announcements here at the end of worship here. I believe here we all are Christians. We have all partaken of the bread of life, of God's word. We have obeyed the gospel. scripture here lets us know that we need to continue to abide in the word of Christ. As Peter says at the end of this chapter, where could we go? You have the words of life. We need to have that in our minds and our hearts, that we never turn away from Christ. He has the words of life. He is the only way that we can get to the Father. That is my lesson for us at this time. If we have any prayer requests or anything that we need to bring before the congregation, we can do so at the time of announcements. But let us at this time please stand and sing the invitation song.